Our reading for today is taken from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep goat a pool, an Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are all well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. You may be seated.
When I decided to pursue becoming a pastor, one of the things that I did was I visited Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, the church where John Piper preached. And when I was there, I wanted to meet him after the service and ask him for advice and tell him that I was going to go into pastoral ministry. So I got in a long line of people down the center aisle to meet him. And I waited and waited as people ahead of me were shaking his hand or asking for prayer. And after I'd waited for a while, all of a sudden I was next in line. But then John Piper announced to everyone in the line that he had to leave and he wouldn't be able to see anyone else. And that's how I missed out on an opportunity to meet John Piper. And some of you are like, "John Piper, that means nothing to me." Okay, well, you know, he's like the Tom Brady of pastors. I don't know. Whoever. Who do you want? He's the Justin Bieber, okay, of pastors. There you go. So, but there I was, at the front of the line, and it got dismissed. It was, and I missed my chance on meeting him. It was like I was so close, yet I was so far away. And this morning, I wonder if any of us are missing out on having an encounter with Jesus. I wonder if any of us are so close, but so far away. And one of the things that I think gets in the way is legalism. And some of you might be saying, "What'll-ism?" Legalism. The definition of legalism is a strict adherence to a law or a formula. And the problem with legalism, how it keeps us from being able to have that encounter with Jesus, is it blocks us. But not only that, it stops others from being able to have an encounter with Jesus too, if we're caught up in it. And so in today's passage, we're going to see people who miss out on an encounter with Jesus because of their legalism. And so if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 5 that we just read out of, and we'll look at this. John 5, 1 through 3 says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool. In Aramaic, it's called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed." And here's a picture of what it probably looked like. You can see the door at the top. That's the gate, what was called the sheep gate. And you can see how there are those roofed walking colonnades all around. And then down the center, there's the one that separates it. And those were two pools. Now, there's no one in that picture, but on this particular day when Jesus entered in, there was people and animals everywhere. So picture this with me. Imagine this overwhelming scene. There's a huge festival gathering of people and activity everywhere. And in this particular entrance, the sheep gate, it got its name because the sheep would be brought into the city to be sacrificed in the temple. And so all you can hear if you're walking around is the deafening sound of the bleating sheep and voices. You probably smell the stench of those stinky sheep. And that's not all you smell, because nearby there's a pool called Bethesda with walking corridors all around it. And in the middle is another corridor that splits into two pools that get filled with rainwater, and it's designed for washing the sheep that come in before they are sacrificed. It could hardly be called a walking corridor, though, because it's crowded with lame and blind and paralyzed people laying all around the pool. And then we're told in this story, amongst all of this craziness, in walks Jesus, the one who would leave the 99 to find the one lost sheep. And he seeks out a man who'd been lame for 38 years. He was coming up on his 40th anniversary. John 5, 6 through 7 says this: when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Another important thing about this story, the reason all those invalids are hanging around this pool is, for some reason, they believed that the waters of the pool would get stirred up by an angel. And whenever that happened, the first one into the pool would be healed. That's why they're all gathered around those colonnades and why they're surrounding that pool. And I wonder how that belief ever came to be. Was it because healing was actually happening and there actually was an angel that would stir the pool and people would come and the first one in would get healed? Or I wonder if, because that was the pool where the sacrificial sheep, the ones that would be sacrificed for their spiritual healing, that they ended up idolizing the very water that the sheep were in. And so the pool where they were washed became this sacred place to them. This is what the lame man believed, and it's because this lame man had faith in a formula. If you follow along in your notes, that's the answer to the first one. The lame man had faith in a formula. All the while these people are crowding around this pool, they're missing out on Jesus, who's among them that day. All these people are gathered by this sheep gate to be saved, and they don't even realize that Jesus is the gate. And anyone who enters through him will be saved. The lame man thought that there was power in the pool because the sacrificial sheep were cleansed there. Only he knew that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, he put his trust in the way that it was done rather in the one who is the way. He put his trust in this pool rather than in Jesus, because he had faith in a formula. And you know what? we're not all that better. We haven't really learned the lesson from this story yet. Because we put our faith in formulas all the time. Even a little after this, there was a church built on that site. As if there was something special about that site. They had to build a church there so that people would travel there because they had to see this place where Jesus healed someone. We ended up thinking that the place was more important. Not only that, but, you know, have you ever seen in movies, they make it seem like crosses have some sort of magic powers. And if you have a cross in your home, you can ward off evil spirits. Or maybe you've bought the holy water from the television. It's all, you know, $29.99. How can I pass up that holy water? It's only for, they're going for that cheap these days. Or maybe the televangelist got you to believe that, hey, you know what? If I give this much money, then God will double it. God will bring blessing and wealth into my life. Well, if a guy on TV says it, then it must be true. But maybe we do more subtle things than even that. Maybe some of you, the reason why you started coming to church in the first place is because you thought that if you did that, that somehow that wound that you've been dealing with will just magically go away. Or maybe you've come to think that, hey, if we drop the kids off at church at least, maybe some of the problems we've been having in our family will start to go away. Maybe those will start getting fixed if we just drop them off at church. And so what we do is we put our faith in a formula and we end up missing out on a real encounter with Jesus. It's like we end up so close, but so far away. We put our faith in the way it's done rather than in Jesus himself. And Jesus healed in many different ways. If we just took a quick little tour through the scriptures to see some of these, in Matthew 8, 2 through 3, behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus touched him, and that's how he healed him. The next passage is Matthew 9, verse 20 to 22. It says, behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly, the woman was made well. So that time, all she did was touch his garment. The next one, in John 9, verse 6 through 7, and if you were in church last Sunday, this is a story we looked at. It says, having said all these things, he, being Jesus, spit on the ground and made mud with his saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And he went and washed and came back seeing. And so that time, Jesus rubbed spit dirt in his eyes and had him wash. So there's all these different ways in which Jesus healed people. And I think there's one of the purposes for that is that we wouldn't think that healing happens because of some certain way. Because there is no power in other things, but power in Jesus only. For example, there is no power in a cross. Jesus overpowered the cross, and that's why the cross is special. There is no holy water. There is only living water that Jesus offers. We don't pray because there's power in praying. We pray because there's power in Jesus. And we even pray at the end of our prayers, we don't just tag in Jesus' name because it's some sort of magic words or because it helps everybody to know that this is when we're ending the prayer. We do that because we believe that there's power in Jesus and that Jesus has the power. Have you ever felt like, man, I really wish that I would pray more? If you want to pray more, believe in the power of Jesus more. Don't believe in a formula. In this story, if Jesus hadn't sought this man out, his legalism, his faith in a formula, would have caused him to miss out on having a real encounter with Jesus. Now, the particular day in which Jesus did this healing of the lame man was on the Sabbath. John 5:9b says this, "Now that day was the Sabbath." John 5:10 and 11 says, "So the Jews said to the man who'd been healed, 'It is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to take up your bed.' But he answered them, 'The man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk.' And so they asked him, 'Who was the man who healed you, so that we can meet him and worship him?' No, they didn't. John 5:12, this is what they said. They asked him, 'Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?'" This is the point of the story where the teenagers would do what is called a face palm. Never mind that the man was lame and now he's up and walking around and it's amazing, a miracle just happened. But can you believe that he was carrying his mat on the Sabbath? Oh, of all the things. Oh, and the, you know, you can just hear the little church rumors and going around and, oh yeah, did you hear the phone calls? Yeah, he was carrying a bedroll on the Sabbath. I mean, the reason why these Jews were so focused on this is because these religious Jews had faith in the law. That was their legalism. They should have been celebrating the healing. But instead, they were upset about Jesus doing healing on the Sabbath and that this guy was carrying a bedroll. And Jesus, in another passage, criticized these kinds of overly religious people in Matthew chapter 23. Let's look at that. Matthew 23, verses 13 and 23 to 24, he says this to them, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." We say that you can't see the forest for the trees. Can't see the elephant in the room. You see, for these kind of people, people can be getting saved, but we complain about the types of people that are coming into our church on Wednesday nights. We can't see the great things that God is doing because we're so focused on disapproving of kids running around in the church. See, when your faith is in the law, your legalism not only prevents others from having an encounter with Jesus, but just like Jesus said to them, you miss out on having an encounter with him yourself. You end up being like the older brother in the story of the prodigal son, who when the prodigal son came home, he was so close, the older son complained And the Father reminded him that he was so close to the Father the whole time, yet he was so far away. Could Jesus be wanting an encounter with you today? Could Jesus be widening the lens of your eyes to be able to see that the fields are ripe and that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and that what fulfilling the law really looks like is loving your neighbor with your heart, soul, loving God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself? You know, I'm reminded today that so much of ministry is actually getting out of the way so that people can have an encounter with Jesus. Instead of thinking that it has to happen a certain way with this certain kind of music, and I need to present a certain kind of gospel presentation, you know what? It can happen any way that Jesus chooses to. Real encounters with Jesus don't happen through legalism. It's not because of a formula. It's not because of the law. Instead, what we should do is we should have faith in Jesus. A Christian couple shared a story about when they were working in West Asia. And while they were there, they would gather in a home with other Christians to do what Christians do. They would pray and worship and do Bible studies. At one particular meeting, while they were doing all this, they heard a commotion out the window. And there were 16 Muslim people approaching. When they opened the door, the Muslims said to them, "We hear that you Christians believe in healing." And just then, they brought in a man who had been crippled since a young age, who they wanted these Christians to pray for. And this Christian couple, as they were sharing the story, they said, here they believed that Christians believed in healing, and we'd never prayed for healing in our whole lives. Sounds like a lot of Covenanters, I know. They didn't know what to pray, but they prayed for the man, you know, however they did. And thankfully, these Muslim people seemed satisfied, and they left. The next time that these Christians got together to have one of their worship meetings, they noticed another commotion coming from outside. And when they looked out, they saw that even more Muslim people were descending on the house. And their first thought was, uh-oh, they're upset with us because nothing happened when we prayed for the man. So they went to the door and they opened the door. All these people came into the house, and they had brought instruments with them. And they were playing, they started playing these instruments, and they didn't understand what was happening. And then all of a sudden, emerging from the crowd was the crippled man that they prayed for. And he went in the middle of them, and he was dancing to the music. You have faith in Jesus. Can Jesus heal today? Have you been coming to church for the first time or for the thousandth time and never actually had an encounter with Jesus yourself? Like the man who is waiting by the pool, week after week, you come in on Sunday morning and you see other people have encounters with Jesus. But you think, I could never have an encounter with him. You hear Jesus saying to you this morning, asking you that question that he asked that man, do you want to be healed? Jesus was inviting him to have an encounter with him.